my place in tech changes every day. But I don't fear the future, because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts, so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Welcome to the Stay Ready Real Estate Podcast, where we stay ready so you don't have to get ready. My name is Emeka, your host, and I'll be interviewing a variety of professionals in the real estate industry to help you get 1% closer to your goal of buying your next real estate investment. At the end of each podcast, I'll give you 3 actionable steps that you can do today for you to get 1% closer to your goal of buying your next real estate property. Today we have Natalie. She is a mother, wife, daughter, veteran, UCLA alumni and real estate investor. Natalie previously worked as a veteran services representative, where she was successful in helping veterans obtain benefits from the Veterans Affairs Administration. Natalie first became interested in real estate after reading the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. It did not take long after reading that book for Natalie and her husband to take massive action and take focus on real estate investing full time. Natalie and her husband are partnered in a 115-unit building, general partners in 22-unit apartment building, and pursuing acquisitions of multifamily properties in Florida and southeastern landlord-friendly states. Let's listen to Natalie.
Hi, Micah. My name is Natalie. I'm originally from California. My husband and I, we got into real estate just a few years ago. We were living in California. We're both veterans. We were in a commuter town outside the Bay Area, and then we made a drastic life change. We moved our family from California to Florida to dive into multifamily full time, because we know that is the path to freedom. So we had, I'm sure there's a lot of listeners who could resonate, somebody who's busy with a full time W-2 and a commute. I had the worst commute. I mean, it was like an hour and a half to 2 hours each day, each way. We were burnt out. But there was a blessing in that misery. It was just because naturally with a long commute like that, you get tired of the radio, the music, same songs. So you start listening to other things, podcasts and books. And then it was Rich Dad, Poor Dad. As soon as I heard that audiobook, I went out and actually bought the book, read it cover to cover. So, I mean, it just made so much sense. And then that's what planted that seed in my head to make a drastic life change.
No, I love it. Where did real estate come in?
Yeah, well, I always knew like real estate, most million, or like I think it was like 9 out of 10 millionaires or billionaires made their fortune in real estate. But for me, in a sense, it still seemed out of this my reach, right? Because I had a W-2. We had comfortable jobs, well-paying W-2s. We had a house, but I didn't feel we had enough to put on a down payment on another house. But I was listening to Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And he doesn't tell you how to get rich, but there's some, I guess he had me thinking. And so from there, I learned that you buy real estate with other people's money, and that's a perfect way to get started. And it is possible. And then from there, it's just more education and more books, but that's why I chose real estate.
And then you moved to Florida. Whenever you chose real estate, was Florida the main spot you wanted to buy properties, and that's why you moved?
Actually, yeah, it was. We went to a conference in Florida, and my husband and I, we were actually waiting for our car to go back to the airport. And that's when I told him, I said, look, if we want to be serious and do this, we need to quit our job and move. Because once we go back to California and we're stuck back in the rat race, we're not going to have any time to educate ourselves other than books on the road, but we're not going to be able to do this. And so I thought another, you know, learning lesson, I thought you had to live in the market you invested in too. Right. And so I thought we were going to move to Florida. And then I quickly learned that you partner and you don't have to live in the cities where you invest in as long as you have boots on the ground. So our portfolio actually started in Kansas City, not Florida. We're partnered also in a student housing project in Athens, Georgia, and we're actively looking in another market as well as South Florida.
And you said you find these partners to do more deals across the country, but how do you find the right people to trust? What were you doing to make sure that you can trust these people with your money and your time?
Right. That's a good question. So, we knowing what we know now, we will do better due diligence on partners. We've had great luck and success on our first partners. They're amazing. They've been great and wonderful. But we've learned so many horror stories and things that could go wrong from other people and through other operators. So now, because we're not the ones with 15 years, 20 years of experience, we have to partner with experience. Because anybody who's been in this business the last 10 years or 12 years, they've only seen upside. They haven't seen the true full market cycle, the ups and downs of the market cycles. So that's why for us, we have to has to be experience we're partnered with, but also we're looking for partners that have complementary skill sets than us. So there's just like a little mix. But getting to know people, first you want to like the person, because somebody could fit the profile as far as their skill sets, their credibility, the record. But if the vibe is not there, you're just not, they could be a good acquaintance or friend, but it really has to be somebody you really enjoy spending your time with, because it's like a marriage.
That makes sense. Once you do a deal with them, it's not like you can just back out, if you don't like them or if you find out some bad information. And that's scary. I've heard horror stories as well where people, lost almost everything. That's something to be scared of. And I would also say that's a reason why some people think you can't really go big, because how can you ever trust anyone? Is there any myths that you've like debunked since getting into real estate?
I'll be honest with you, like the last property, I never thought a couple of years ago I would be partnered in a $21.5 million student housing project, Class A new build. I mean, that sounds like a pie in the sky. Like, it's not attainable. And it's not attainable by yourself, right? Because I don't have the net worth to purchase that big building by myself. I don't have the experience to run the operations on my own. So definitely it's attainable with the right partners and not yourself.
Oh, perfect. And when y'all got started, did you jump straight into multifamily or did you buy single family homes first?
We went straight into multifamily. We owned our own house in California. And well, with that commute, I was listening also to a lot of podcasts. And one thing I heard often from many multifamily investors is they wish they would have scaled into multifamily first. Many investors say, wish we would have just started in multifamily. So I went in there with the idea to skip the single family and just go straight into multifamily.
That's beautiful. And did you look at any other kind of asset classes or any other investments like stocks, crypto, bonds, or has it always been real estate?
I did when I had my W-2. I was not good at it. It's like going to the casino. I was not good at it. I lost, embarrassed to say how much money I lost. I lost a lot of money through the years when I thought I knew what I was doing. I would register for certain websites and to get a head and to know what was going to come in the horizon, what was going to be a great investment and not. And it never worked out. That's why I like real estate, because it's a hard asset and it's a necessity. People need a place to live. And when the economy goes to crap, they lose their house and move to apartments.
That person listening right now or watching right now that doesn't have any deals, that's listening to this and that's getting motivated, what would be the advice that you would give them right now?
Right now, I would say consume yourself with as much information, become obsessed with it. First, if you're not into, if you've never dipped your toes into real estate, and you have a full-time job or a job, listen to an audiobook or read the book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. That will help you get that mindset. And then from Rich Dad, Poor Dad, there's a book called Psycho Cybernetics. I was recently recommended to me. That's another great place, because that will help you get in that mindset of the person that you're going to become. And you will become that and succeed. So, right. And then just be obsessed with education and then join a multifamily if you want multifamily coaching program. Get a coach or mentor. There's so many great programs out there. but a great coach or mentor, they're going to help you succeed and shorten the learning curve.
I love that. And you put a good focus on mindset. Is the mindset one of the most important things about being multifamily?
For me, I think like a lot of people, our parents raised us to get a job, go to college, get a job, and work for somebody else. And a lot of people just get stuck in that. They live life by default because this is, you know, the cards they were handed. So they have to emulate the family dynamics or whatever the family did. And that's as far as you're going to go. And you really have to take your mind to see, you know what? I can make this happen. And that was the beauty in multifamily real estate is there's so many people in this who are just like you and I, who don't have the net worth, who don't have the connections, who don't have the parents with a lot of money, who don't have the W-2 where they're making a couple hundred thousand a year. There's people like you and I just started out from nothing that build themselves up. And that's actually how I found how my husband and I resonated well with our coach. He traveled the world. He was a traveling hippie. And so that helps me keep my mindset and focus. You know what? He made it happen. I can make it happen too. And he reminds me too. He gives me tough love when I need it. And that's really helpful. Your mind will, I think your mind is your biggest enemy, or it could be your great success. Help to get where you need. So,
do you have a goal with everything, or what's the motive behind everything?
My goal is obviously not to quit my W-2 because I already did that. but definitely it's to never have to go back to a W-2 and to keep cash flowing coming. And it goes back to my why is my daughter. I never want her to feel stuck in a job because she has to go to work every day because she has to. And I want her to live an abundant life with options. And then I want to be able to give back. There's a lot of people that need help, and there's different ways we could help them. You know, hospitals were not made from poor people. They're made from people with money. So a lot of great things could come from money. Then I can make a difference. So that's,
I love it. And if you can go back to when you first listened to that podcast, is there anything else that you would do differently now that you're more experienced and have more deals?
Yeah, I think I would, what I would do differently, I would have networked more and I would have just pulled out of my comfort zone. I'm very introverted. I'm very shy. But shy is not going to get you results. Shy is not going to raise capital. Being shy is not going to get you to your goals. So if I were to do different things differently, I would just break out of that a lot sooner.
So when you're networking, what exactly are you looking for from others?
Yeah, great. Good question. It depends on the networking event. If it's strictly real estate or multifamily, I'm looking for that multifamily partner, somebody who has different skill sets that my husband and I don't. Are they an asset manager? I'm looking for that person that has experience where we don't, that could help form our core team. So that, and then when different business events, I'm looking for people who maybe want to diversify their portfolio and perhaps invest in real estate. They don't have the time or the experience to do it, and they could do it passively. So it really depends on the networking event that I go to.
Cool. So with that, we're going to move on to the next segment of the show where I ask everyone the same three questions. Question number one, what are the two books you recommend the aspiring investor to read?
Yeah, probably. They already talked about it, but I can't emphasize it enough. Definitely Rich Dad, Poor Dad. It helped change my life as it changed many other people's life. It was a very great book to start. And then I like Psycho-Cybernetics. There's Tom Wheelwright. That was another great book. What, I'm drawing a blank on the title. Tax-Free Wealth.
Tax-Free Wealth.
That was Tax-Free Wealth, yeah.
Question number two, what has been the most impactful speech or lesson that has impacted you in your career?
make sure you're the dumbest and poorest person in the room. That's you learn a lot from the people who are where you're not yet.
And third, if you can have dinner with anyone dead or alive, who would it be and why?
It would be my grandfather. He passed away in 2016. And after he died, especially when I got into a real estate and multifamily, I now have a lot of questions for him. Business questions, real estate questions, and he's not here to answer them. My grandfather, he invested in real estate, him and my grandmother, in a commercial property, and they did well for themselves and for their kids. He didn't scale to make it generational wealth. That's where I'm doing things differently. And I think we would be able to have this great conversation. It really takes a special person to do what we're doing. My grandfather was that person, and I'm that person. You have a job, a W-2, to work till you retire, but that's not good for me. That wasn't going to make me happy. And so I think my grandfather would be very proud of me, but I think we would have a lot more to talk about and on a different level. Yeah, it would definitely be my grandfather.
Natalie, what can the audience provide to you, and how can they reach out to you?
Yeah. The audience, if they want to reach out to me, I do have a Instagram, The Passive Shift. So it's the_passive_shift. The Passive Shift on Facebook. And you can also find me on Facebook and LinkedIn, Natalie Lara.
Oh, cool. Thank you so much for joining the show, and hope you have me back again.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Mecca.
That was Natalie, everyone. At the beginning of the podcast, I told you I'd give you 3 actionable steps that you can do today to get you 1% closer to your goal of buying your next real estate investment. Before then, please like and subscribe if you enjoyed this podcast. It means the world to me and help the algorithm. Step 1, sign up for Bigger Pockets. Bigger Pockets is solely meant for real estate people who are looking to get into it, the experienced people. There's different, you know, brokers, lenders, lawnscapers, you name it, on Bigger Pockets. You can meet new people from across the country and from across the world and network, and you might have a new sourced or a new partner in the future. So sign up for Bigger Pockets. They have podcasts and different amount of tools that you can use and expand your network. Step 2, determine your why. I've said it before, you can't just do this for money. That's not enough, because once you have money, then what else is it going to be for? So you got to determine your why. Natalie's why was her family, her daughter. So that's going to always motivate her to do more. So find a deeper meaning and change not only your family, but the world. And step 3, calculate the amount of time that you drive on a weekly basis. Because the amount of time that you're driving, you could be listening to a podcast, a book, whatever. And that's a lot of knowledge that you could be taking in on a daily basis. Until next time, see ya.